Today we're going to learn Nida Daf Lamed. We're going to finish up with this 95 Tefillot the Beit Shammai holds. Okay, you'll be surprised to know that the Gemara is even going to suggest there should be more Tefillot than 95, if you thought 95 is not enough. Okay, so we ended with, right, we had the first week at night because maybe she was Yoledet Zachar and the days were already finished. So every night of the first week she has to go to the mikvah. Remember, 3 weeks she doesn't bleed at all. But maybe that was it. The second week, every night, because maybe she was Yoledet Nekeva and her Nekeva days are up now. Every night is possibility. Every day during the day, because maybe she had a Zachar and it was Bezov. Okay, I'll explain very briefly, although we'll see later on a few more Dapim, what exactly this Yoledet Bezov. According to one of the opinions, it's that she bled for 3 days before childbirth, not connected to childbirth, in her Zava days. And she needed to wait the Sheva Nekiyim, but then she gave birth, so she never had the Sheva Nekiyim. So now after the birth, she has to do Sheva Nekiyim. Okay, then, so that gets us up to 21. Then the third week, every day, maybe she's Yoledet Nekeva Bezov. So then this week, right, will be the end of her Sheva Nekiyim, and every day is a possibility. And at night, every day, because she already finished the Nekeva. Now she's in Dam Tohar, but maybe every night is potentially the end of her Dam Tohar. So she'll have to Tovel every night, just in case, because this is Beit Shammai says, that's where we ended, Tefillat Yom Aroch Bai Tefillah, even though she already Toveled at the end of the first, right, the 14 days, or the 7 days, she still needs to tovel at the end of the Yimei Tohar, which might be ending any possible day. So basically every day then she needs, so that's for that week. So we got to the end of the third week. Now we say, Michti Yimei Tahara Kamahavu, how many days of there are Tahara altogether? Shitim Bishita, 66 days of Tahara. Dal Shavua Shlishi. So now, if altogether there's 66 days, and where did we end? Yesterday we just said a minute ago also, and yesterday, that the third week already may be her Dam Tohar. So 66 minus 7 gets you to 59. So she has 59 more potential days of Dam Tohar. Because we started with, right, the last week we just talked about was, yeah. So Dal Shavua Shlishi Da'at Bilinu. We already dunked her in the mikvah in the third week, because maybe that was the end of her Dam Tohar. Take those away. We end up with shitin nechechada. We have 60 minus 1. Okay, instead of saying 59, they say 60 minus 1, which might sound strange to you, but we say that all the time, right? A quarter to 7, right? We don't say, right, 10 to 7, we don't say 650. So they also said that. So that we get to shitin nechechada. Shitin nechichada, v'taltim v'chamisha, so we had 35 before, we now add another 59, that gets us up to tishim ba'arba, 94. So now we're a little stuck. Didn't we say 95? Where do we get the 95th from? So tishim ba'arba havyan, tishim v'chamesh, maya vidateyu. So what's with this 95th one? Amar of Yirmiyami Difti, Kigon Shabbat L'chanenu Ben HaShmashot, Yavina Matzvila Yiterata. What if she came to us the first day? We thought the first day she came to us during the day. What if she came to us the night before, where we're Safek Yom, Safek Laila, we're in between at a twilight, we don't know. If it was Safek Yom, then what might we could say to her? Oh, dunk right now, tonight. She'd also have to go in the mikvah. Like the day before, almost, we see her, right? So therefore, we add one extra day for that. Okay, that's Beit Shammai. So that's how we got to 95. Ule Beit Hillel da Amr Tefillat Yom Aroch lo bai Tefillah. Beit Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai in principle that Tefillah is mana mitzvah, but he doesn't agree with him that Tefillat Yom Aroch bai Tefillah. After the Dam Torah is over, he says you don't need to go to the mikvah. So now, how does he get to 35? Shloshim v'chamesh ma'ya vidatayu. So Eslim v'timnaya kidamaran. We basically have all the ones we learned yesterday minus what? Minus the very last week where we said you need every night because maybe it's Dam Tohar because he doesn't think you need at the end of Dam Tohar. So it's basically 35 minus 7. So we end up with 28. Hach Shavua Chamishi Matvilinan Kol Lelia. Kol Lelia Valelia. Okay, so now this is what happens. The week of the fifth week, if you remember, what did we say what happens in the fourth week? You can look at the chart. That maybe every day there is a potential Nida day. When she starts bleeding in the fourth week, right? Maybe it's Nida because maybe she's done with everything else. So maybe it's Nida. If it's Nida, then every day in the fifth week, when she's not, right, could potentially be the day after Nida, starting from day one, ending in day seven, because it's day one of week five is 8 days after the first day, right? So we basically end up, right, the eighth day after we start counting the seven. So every day until 35, and that's why she can only sleep with him on day 35, because she goes to the mikveh, right? That's, she also goes to the mikveh there. She goes to the mikveh that entire week every night, because maybe it's Sof Nidahi. Okay, so we figured out the 35. Asara shvuin lamali. So now they say, why did they give a case of 10 weeks? Because theoretically, when does this all end? Of the maximum number is 95, and the 95 ends in the middle of week 12. Okay, which for the Gemara purposes, they're going to call it the middle of week 9, because they're going to count from week 4, because they put it into two groups. There's the 3 weeks, and then there's the 10 weeks. So they're going to talk about it in the context of the 10 weeks, but I'm going to tell you that according to this, the 8.5 weeks into the the ninth week after of the 10 weeks, 9.5 weeks in, is basically 12 and a half on this chart. So why did they give an example of 10 weeks? Bitimnaya v'palgasage. It would have been enough 8.5 weeks after, meaning again, 11.5 weeks. So I did itana palga de shavua. Right. By the way, how do we get to that number, 8.5? Because you have 11.5 weeks times 7 comes out to 80.5. So 80 days would end in 11.5 weeks. And that's all we need is 80 days for the Dam Tohar to end. So what do they say? Well, it's two jumps. I did Tana Palga de Shavua. Once they already counted the week, 12, right, half of the week. So they weren't going to say, 8.5 weeks, they just said 9 weeks. Okay. But I did Tana Shavua Tame, Tananami Shavua Tahor, and to even things up, they like things to be in a neat box. Well, we started for the first week was Tame, Tahor, Tame, Tahor, Tame, Tahor, Tame, Tahor. Week number 9 is Tame, so finish up with a Tahor week. So they just mentioned a nice round number, but really they could have just said 8.5 if they wanted. Now that ends that whole that part of the section. Now we're going to say, well, what about all these other potential tefillot that you didn't mention that theoretically could have also been mentioned here? There's a bunch of other sfeikot we have to deal with. V'ha'ika tefillat zava, tefillat zava. What does this mean? Well, remember, what happens every other week? She bleeds after the first 3 weeks. She starts bleeding. The first week could only be potentially nida, because we always start off with nida days. After one gets a period, then we can start counting Zava days. So let's say the week number 4 was Nida days. Then any of the time after that that she starts bleeding could potentially be Zava days, right? Week number 6 could potentially be Zava. Or week number 6 could end up being Nida, and then week number 8 would be Zava. Or, so basically all those weeks are potential Zava days. Since they're potential Zava days, again, because we don't know what the nature of the blood is. Maybe the blood is Dam Tohar, which means that the blood the week before wasn't Dam Nida. We don't know. Everything's a possibility. So theoretically, every week that she bleeds could potentially be Zava, starting from week 6. So week 6, week 8, week 10, week 12 could potentially be Zava. If that's the case, the week after is all clean. So those are her Sheven Nikiyim. The end of week 7, 9, 11, and 13, theoretically, on day number 7, she should go to the mikveh because maybe she was Zava and the Zava goes to the mikveh in the morning of the 7th clean day. So what do they answer? Again, this is going to go back to something we've seen a lot, which is, well, this list just didn't include things like that. Theoretically, you're right. But the list isn't talking about that. So, and then we're going to have a bunch of questions like this. So what do they say? Dilifneta vahaika, sorry, tfilat zava, dilifnetash mish kachashiv, dilachartash mish lo kachashiv. Okay? They were only talking about tfilot before the day she's allowed to sleep with her husband, which is day number 35, week 5. We were talking about week 7, 9, 11, and 13, but they're not dealing with after. So they say, wait a minute, that only works according to Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel ended there. His 35 are all within the first 5 weeks. But LeBeit Shammai deChashiv laChar Tashmish, but Beit Shammai, of course there's Shfilot after. He goes all the way to middle of week 12 because of all the Dam Tohar. So why didn't he mention the Zava? So what do we answer? LeBeit Hillel deChashiv laChar Tashmish nichshav nami tefilat Zava. So again, Beleida kamare beziva lo kamare. He wasn't dealing with Zava. He was only dealing with birth-related Dam. So they say, Vahayika, but Yoled Bezov. But there's a case of Yoled Bezov where we did deal with Zavadez. Yoled Bezov Kachashiv, Ziva Gredata lo Kachashiv. Since we're talking about a birth and there's an issue of Yoled Bezov that would make her need to work, wait the Zavadez, that's why we mentioned it. But that's only because it has to do with Leida. But if we're worried about Zava after, Beit Shammai just didn't relate to that. But theoretically, yes, you would also need to Tovel then. Shvuata Kama Da'ate Lekaman, Lit Vele Biyoma. Now the first week, we kind of made reference to this yesterday, but the first week, theoretically, maybe she had 7 clean days the week before. So maybe she was Yoled Bezov, maybe she was done with her, let's say, Zahar or Nekeva days. She had her 7 clean days. Maybe now she needs to, every day is potential Zava. Maybe she should have to go to the mikveh in the morning and add a whole another 7 tefillot there. Dilma kol yoma v'yoma shlima lasvurim tidam. Maybe it finished her 7 nekiyim. So they say, no, this Mishnah Hamane, this source, is Rabbi Akiva. He ta'amar be'inan sfurim befanenu. Rabbi Akiva says, you can't just say, oh, by the way, I just noticed I had 7 clean days last week, I can go to the mikvah. No, there's no such thing according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, you need to have counted them as 7 clean days. First of all, the Torah says, v'safra la shiva nekiyim, you have to have known that they were nekiyim. And this woman shows up on the scene, she's to'ah. By the way, I said yesterday that potentially she's a shota. So I looked up, I think it's Chachmei Ashkenaz say that that's the potential, but other people say she just forgot. It was just a forgetful woman. It doesn't necessarily mean she was a shota. She could just be any forgetful woman. There's different opinions about it. But anyway, she needed to have counted them, and since she forgot everything, she certainly wasn't counting her Sheva Nekiyim. So what do we say? Sof Shavua Kama Litbalei. So another question now. Sof Shavua Kama Litbalei. Why don't we say, though, at the end of the first week, now that we have Sheva Nekiyim, the first week, so now we clearly, she counted. Well, now at this point, what happened to day number 7? And theoretically, the last day of the first week, she should go to the mikvah, because maybe she was Yoled Bezov, and maybe she was already finished with her 7 days of Zahar, or 14 of Nekeva, and now we had Sheva Nekiyim, maybe all that finished beforehand. Now we have Sheva Nekiyim, and she should dunk on the last day of that week. So what do they say? Another interesting one. Chab Shavua Lo Kamayr. They're not talking about tefillot that happen once a week. Okay, even though we did mention at some point there was a mention of, or at least in question we asked, why doesn't she dunk at the end of all those other weeks? They didn't answer that question there. They could have answered that question to that also. Yoma Kama Da'ati L'Kaman Litbalei. What about the first day she shows up on the scene? Why should we make her dunk? Because maybe she saw blood yesterday, and she was a Zava Ketana. Maybe she finished with her Zahar, she finished with her Nekeva, or maybe she was Yoled Bezov, and there was like a Zava Ketana, and she needs to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. So Dilma Shomeret Yom Keneged Yomi, and therefore she should dunk the first day, because maybe she saw blood the day before, and needs to just dunk in the morning and make sure she doesn't bleed anymore, and she's just a Zava Ketana. So again, b'zava gdola kamayr, b'zava ketana lo kamayr. They're not talking about yoled b'zov, zava ketana. They're only talking about yoled b'zov, zava gdola. Yeah, it's not the yesterday, sorry. It's really before she gave birth. Maybe she was a zava ketana and has to deal with that now. Shema minatzlat. So we can infer from this 3 things, okay? Inferring means from Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel's opinions. Shema mina Rabbi Akiva hi da'amar b'inan sfurim b'faneinu, and that's why we don't count the whole first week, because we hold by Rabbi Akiva that Sheva Nekiyim have to actually be counted and noted. Ushma mina Rabbi Shimon hi, this goes back to something we saw yesterday, da'amar aval amul chachamim asur la'asok en shema tavo lidei safek. With the whole question was, why could she only sleep with him on day number 35? Theoretically, she could sleep with him on day number 21. After she goes to the mikveh in the morning, she's already permitted to her husband. But Rabbi Shimon says she's not allowed to do that just in case she bleeds that day. We only allow her at night. And then we said it must be immediately as night came on, she started bleeding already. Ushma mina, last thing is tefila bizmana mitzvah. Right, we learned the tefila bizmana, according to both of them, is a mitzvah. You have to do it on time. The fact that you have to do tefillah as a mitzvah, all the monah mitzvot, they count it, okay, as a mitzvah. The question is it a mitzvah, though? Do you have to do it on that day, or is it just preferable to do it on that day, but not necessarily that you have to? A lot of people connect this with the assumption is the woman is the most fertile and has to do with Peru Revu. So therefore, some people say if a woman, for whatever reason, wants to push off going to the mikvah, first of all, if the husband's not around, there's a debate, right? Does she have to go anyway on time because tefillah is mana mitzvah, or is it only to allow her to be with her husband if he's not around? Maybe not. Or also, potentially, if she's not trying to get pregnant, maybe it would also be different if she's using birth control, or then maybe that lowers the significance of tefillah b'zman mitzvah if it has to do with Peru Revu. There's a debate about that. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya L'Tfila Ba'achrona, Lo Amrinan Tfila B'Zman HaMitzvah. He holds, all you have to do is the last day. What's the last day? 35. Okay? She dunks on day number 35 to allow her to sleep with her husband, and that's it. None of this crazy situation of how many tefillot and, you know, all these situations. No, she just goes to the mikvah right then. Okay. Finished with that crazy case. New Mishnah. If you thought that was crazy, wait till you see this Mishnah. Hamapelet liyom arba'im eina choseshet levlad. Okay? This is something we've learned already. Until 40 days, we assume the vlad is not formed yet, and therefore, if she has a miscarries, we're not worried that it's a vlad, okay? And she doesn't have to wait the yimei leida and all that. Leyom arba'im ve'echad, as soon as it's 41 days, tishev lazachar v'lenekeva v'lenida. We're going to have to understand in the Mishnah what that means, in the Gemara, what does it mean, lazachar and lenekeva and lenida? In other words, I'll tell you very simply, right? It's the worst of either it's a zachar or it's a nekeva, or maybe it's not a leida, in which case it's nida blood. So she has to worry about all three. Okay, the one that doesn't make any sense really is zachar, because the only thing zachar gives you a chumrah is the dam tohar is shorter. But in this case, if we're choshesh for nida, there is no dam tohar. So the Gemara is going to try to say, well, what's going on here? Here comes the interesting part of today's daf. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Yom Arba'im Ve'echad, Teshev LaZachar V'Lanida. Notice what he skips here, nekeva. If it's 41 days, you have a hapala, we're not concerned it's a nekeva, because we're going to see in a second, according to him, a nekeva is not fully formed at 41 days. Only a male, not a female. Yom Pe'alif, on the 81st day, Teshev LaZachar V'Lanekeva V'Lanida. Then you have to be concerned that maybe it was male, maybe it was female, or maybe it wasn't anything at all. Shazachar Nigmar L'Mem Aleph V'Nekeva L'Pe'alif. Because the way that men and women are created is different. Okay, women are created, it takes 81 days for the vlad to form, and men, and for boys, 41 days. V'chachamim omrim, no, it's weird because chachamim seem to say the same thing as Tanakama, echa b'riyat hazachar ve'echa b'riyat hanekeva zev zev mem aleph. Maybe the Gemara just wants, the Mishnah wants to tell you, we do not agree with Rabbi Yishmael, okay? Very straight and clear, there's no such thing, okay? Disagree with him. We're going to see a lot of interesting discussions between them in the Gemara. They're going to bring all sorts of Tanaitic sources with discussions back and forth about this topic. I wanted to just mention in this context, I heard Rabbi Yol Ben-Nun speak a few months ago, and he spoke about, it was a lecture about women's role in Judaism, and he was saying, based on the teachings of Rav Kook, Cook always taught that men and women are the same and they're chiyuv and mitzvot. Now, there's obviously, yes, there's exemptions and things like that, but that theoretically they should be viewed all the same. And one of the proofs he brought was this text. He said, look, we reject Rabbi Yishmael. He viewed Rabbi Yishmael as saying there's inherent differences, and not to say there aren't inherent differences between male and female, but that there's an inherent difference. You know, he kind of viewed them as two separate things entirely. And we don't hold that way, but yet they're all viewed the same. Now, yes, there's external circumstances that maybe create the exemption, and, you know, we can all raise that as an issue nowadays, or women, should they be all exempt from mitzvot aseh shasman grama? The world is different now, you know, depending on why you say women are exempt, but not getting into those issues. But he tried to say from here that, you know, we don't paskin that there's such an inherent difference between them. Again, yes, there's differences, but, you know, they shouldn't be treated differently. Okay, the Gemara starts off and says, Lama uskar zachar. So what's this zachar doing there? What does it have to do with anything? Because ila demei tuma, if we're talking about tuma, haktane nekeva. Nekeva is obviously worse for demei tuma. So it's double the amount. So that's not the issue. Ili me tahara, haktane nida. You have to be worried about nida, in which case, also, the zachar is irrelevant. So what's the case? She'im tir'e yom lamedale. They're going to bring this, not crazy case, but creative case. If she bleeds on the 34th day, v'tachzor v'terei yom mem ve'echad, then she sees blood on the 41st day. Because of the issue of zachar, which we'll explain in a minute, tehem kukelet ad mem chet. She'll have to wait till the 48th day. Why? Well, let's go through. If she's nida, then what will happen? Day number 34 is nida days. They end on day number 40. Right, because 34 counts and 40 counts, right? We count 7 days. She goes to the mikvah. The next day she bleeds, well, that, or let's say she can't go to the mikvah, whatever it is, it already becomes, the next day is, right, I guess she goes to the mikvah, and then she bleeds the next day, right, because she wasn't bleeding otherwise. She bleeds the next day, well, that's just one day of bleeding. It's after her period days, it's zava. Then it's zava ketana, she can go to the mikvah ready the next morning. So that woman, right, is not doesn't have to wait till 48. If she's nikeva, if she was yoledet nikeva, then what do we say? Well, all that is dam tohar because you have till day 80, so it's not a problem at all. But if it's zachar, well, then the 34 was in dam tohar days. So when she starts to bleed on 41, which is after her dam tohar, that'll be nida blood. She'll have to wait 7 days till 48. So that would be the case where you would have it. And then they just point out that, by the way, the same thing would happen if it was nikeva and the numbers were different. V'chein l'inyan nikeva, shim tireh yom ayin dalet, the 74th day, v'tachzor v'tireh yom pe aleph, on the 81st day, te'em u'kukelet ad pechet. This is like a math equation, right? You know, you can do it like that, you can do it like that. Okay, now we get into these interesting discussions between Rabbi Yishmael and Tanakhama, or the Chachamim, about the Yitzirat HaVlad. And the difference between male and female. So Rabbi Yishmael Omer Yomim Aleph Teshev LaZachar V'Nida V'Chulei. Tanya. Okay, so the quote of Breita. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Now we're going to see where does he get this from, that there's a difference. Timei V'Tiher B'Zachar V'Timei V'Tiher B'Nekeva. The Torah said there's dam that we call dam Tamei, and there's dam we call dam Tohar, after birth. Right? So for a male, you're going to end up with altogether 40 days, and with a female, 80 days. Notice the connection. 40, 80. So what does he say? Well, notice, if you assume a vlad is created after 40 days. So he says like this. Take a look at the zachar. The zachar is created in 40 days, and also after the birth of a zachar, the woman has to wait till the end of her dam tohar, right? 40 days. After 40 days, then dam tohar ends. So they say, just like for Zachar, those two numbers are the same, we're going to assume by the Nekeva, okay? So just like that, we're going to say, Av kishetimei v'tiher b'nekeva yitzirata kayotzeba. We're going to assume then the days of Tuma and Tara for the woman, which are 80 after having a female, a baby, we're going to assume is the same as the days that it takes to create them, okay? He's basically making a comparison from the beginning to the end, okay? So, Amrula, what's their reaction? Very simply, Ein lebedim yitzira mituma. Those two things are not connected. Where did you come up with this connection, right? Sounds cute, but, you know, why would we learn one from the other? By the way, this would explain, in other words, according to his logic, everybody always asks the question, there's really no great answer that I've ever heard, which is, why are the days doubled for the females and not for the males? So this would explain it in a very good way. This would say, oh, very simply, it takes double the amount of time for the female to be created. Again, why exactly you make that connection, right? And because of that, it's double the amount of days that you have to wait, days of tumah, right? I think I said this, I might have said this in class. The one answer I always heard was that when you give birth to a female, so the female has potential also to reproduce and to have a period, so to speak, and that some girls even have some menstrual bleeding when they're born, and because of that, you're kind of sitting for yourself and for the nikeva. That was an explanation that made a little more sense to me than anything else I heard. But anyway, this would explain it, but it's obviously cyclical because he's saying this explains it, but he's creating his theory based on that. Right? He's saying that's why it is, even though... Okay, anyway. Amrula the Rabbi Yishmael. So basically they say no. And then they continue and they say, hey... Maaseh b'Cleopatra, Malkat Alexandrus. Okay, Cleopatra, the famous Cleopatra, who was known, by the way, we're going to see, she did experimentation in this source, and if you look up, you can find out that she actually was known to have done experimentation, science experiments. Okay, this was her thing, you can look it up and see. So Amrula l'Rabbi Yishmael, Maaseh b'Cleopatra, Malkat Alexandrus, Shenitchayva shifchoteha harigala malchut. Okay, what happened? Her shvachot were supposed to be murdered, right? Killed.
Sentenced to death. That
was the word. Supposed to be sentenced to death. So what'd she say? Well, we're going to sentence them to death. We may as well do human experimentation on them. U'bedakanu mitza'an ze v'ze lemem aleph. So what'd she do? She checked. She got them both impregnated. They had a vlad. After 41 days, they opened them up, and they checked, and lo and behold, one had a zachar, one had a nekeva, and, you know, I don't know how... Right? How she planned it exactly that way, but maybe she did this a number of times till it actually worked. And she saw that they were both, in fact, created in the 41st day. So therefore, you see that, okay, Chachamim say you're wrong. Amar lahen, so what's his reaction? Ani mevi lechem raya min haTorah, va'atem mevi'im li raya min haShotim. Now, this is funny. Why is this funny? Well, it's funny because, right, it's saying, you bring me proof from idiots? Now, we've said before, I always like to mention this, right? Notice their world of proofs is always from sources and not from reality. Now, you would think the proof of reality is much stronger than Torah. So the Gemara is going to have to explain why they called this shotim. Okay, because what they're basically going to say, and this happens in medical research all the time, it was a bad experiment, okay? Wasn't a controlled experiment. So first we're going to say, first of all, he says to them, I brought you proof from the Torah. My rayam in a Torah. What exactly is this proof from the Torah? We didn't really see a Torah proof. So ilema, if you want to say, ti mebe tiyar b'zachar b'ti mebe tiyar b'nekeva, haka amrele, ein dani mitzira mituma. If you're going to say it says in the Torah about the 80 days and the 40 days, and therefore we're going to learn that to there, well, the Chachamim don't think that's a proof in the Torah because the Torah doesn't say we compare the two. He's making a comparison. That's not said in the Torah. So what's his proof? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Teled, hosif la kachuv leida acheret b'nekeva. It says, v'im nekeva teled. It says, Yishaki tezri av yaldat zachar. This is the whole context of what we're talking about, the yimei tuma v'tara. And then it says, v'im nekeva teled. So now it didn't need to say, im nekeva teled, and then it says, tuma ashvuayim. Right? She's tuma ashvuayim. But it could have just said, v'im nekeva shvuayim, you know, tuma ashvuayim. So the fact that they said, teled, hosif la kachuv leida acheret. So that's his proof. That extra word comes to teach you, there's another leida. Leida acheret b'nekeva. Now we have to explain. So that was the Rayam in HaTorah. Uma Rayam in HaShotim. Emar Nekeva Kadim V'Yabar Abayim Yomim Kameh Zachar. Maybe the one who had the Nekeva was actually already pregnant. The fact that she put them in the rooms, made them sleep with the man, and got them impregnated, who knows? Maybe they were pregnant before, right? We know who Karu Bara is, right, is a later stage. 1 month pregnant, no one would have known. 40 days pregnant. So maybe she was already 40 days pregnant by then. Rabbanan. So what will the rabbi say? It wasn't an experiment min hashotim because sama dinachta ashkinu. She must have given them some drug that made them miscarry. Okay, and therefore, right? She made sure she did her experiment well to make sure they weren't pregnant at the time. Rabbi Shmuel, ikagufa delam kabal sama. Right? Not everybody reacts to the drug that causes women to abort. Okay. That's the first version of the story. Now we're going to bring Cleopatra's story to prove Rabbi Yishmael. The different version is that Dafka Cleopatra wasn't from Alexandria, she was from Greece, and her story didn't prove that case, it proved the other case and the Shotim, right? Each one said Shotim, but it was the other person saying it the other way. Amar lehem Rabbi Yishmael, Maset b'Cleopatra malkah yevanit, shenitchayvu shefchoteha hagal amachut. Same story. Ubadkanu mitza'am, but now what happened? They checked and they found Zachar la'arba'im ve'echad unikeva le'ashmonim ve'echad. So here it proves Rabbi Yishmael. Amrulo, so they said to him, now this time they can't say anything about the Torah, they don't have Torah proof. They just say very simply, Eim ibi'im rayam in ashotim. Now, my time, what's the problem with the shotim here? What was the problem with the experiment? Hachti nikeva iyatcha arba'im yomin v'hade iyaber. It could be that this nikeva was... It's true, it was 81 days after she stuck them in a room, but maybe she got pregnant 40 days later. Maybe she slept with someone else. And it wasn't from that first intercourse, it was from later. For Rabbi Yishmael, l'shomer masrinu, no, she put up a shomer. He says, of course it was a good experiment. She made sure there was someone making sure these women didn't sleep with anyone. For Rabbanan, here comes their shita, ein apitropus l'arayot. There's no such thing as a shomer from arayot. Why? The Shomer could have slept with her, right? Okay, people aren't trustworthy when it comes to Arayot, right? A very fascinating line. And therefore, Ema, Shomer Gufei Ba'aleha. You could claim that maybe the Shomer slept with her. Vidilma, now there's another question. Let's assume, first of all, again, this had to be an experiment that, again, she ended up opening up that one at 41 and that one at 81 and that one was male and that one was female. But what they're suggesting is, well, you didn't open up the female one at 41 days. Maybe she was already created at 41 days. The fact that she's created at 81 doesn't necessarily prove anything because maybe she was created at 41. You didn't check. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Ikra inu lahach nekeva ba'arba'im b'chad hava mishtakha kezachar. Maybe she would have looked just like the zachar. Amar abaye b'simanei hon shavim. You know, when they took them out, and some people say it's the nails and, you know, like things were exactly identical. It was clear it was the exact stage where the male was up to and where the female was up to. V'chachamim omrim, echa b'riyat zachar v'echa b'riyat nekeva. So now we go back to our question. Chachamim haynu tanakama. Isn't that the same opinion? So why would they mention it as chachamim when they already mentioned it as tanakama? V'chitem alim istam aresha kerabanan, v'yachid v'rabim halacha kerabim. If you want to say that it's because they wanted you to know, the Mishnah, if you didn't say chachamim, it would look like one person against one person, tanakama versus Rabbi Yishmael. Once you say chachamim, it proves, we're obviously a paskin like Rabbim. But Pshita, that's obvious though, because we always hold by Tanakhama against the other opinion. Whenever it says Tanakama, we assume that's the main opinion. So what do they say? She told her imbalance because Rabbi Yishmael actually has a proof. He brings a proof pasuk and the Chachamim don't. So maybe, or Tanakama doesn't. So without saying Chachamim, you might have thought, since Rabbi Yishmael has a proof and the Tanakama doesn't, maybe we'd hold like Rabbi Yishmael. So therefore, Kamashmalan, that the rabbis also hold that way against him, which means we pasuk like Tanakama. And now we're going to get off into a whole digression about Vladot and the chokhmah that the fetus has, all sorts of things about fetuses. Darash Rabbi Simlai, Lemaha Vlado Mebi Me'emo. What is the Vlad like in the Me'emo? Okay, it's sort of like, what does it look like? Lepinkas Shemekubal Umunach. Okay, it looks like a notebook that's folded and placed down. Some people put munach with the Mekubal Umunach. Some people say Umunach Yadav Al Sheitz Da'af. Okay, but basically it's kind of folded over. And Yadav al Shtei Tzda'av, his hands are up by his temples. Shtei Atzilav al Shtei Arkavotav, okay, either his armpits or his elbows, okay, or his hands are by his knees, okay, holding on to his knees or hers. Shnei Akevav al Shtei Agvotav, his two heels are up against his two cheeks of his buttocks. His head is lying in between his knees. Upiv satum, and his mouth is sealed. Betaburo patuach, and his belly button or his navel is open. Veochel mimashi imo ochelet, veshota mimashi imo shota. Okay, his food comes directly from his mother. Veino motzi rei, it doesn't give out excrement. Shema yaharog et imo, because that would kill its mother, because I guess there's nowhere for it to go. Once it comes out, now we're going to notice one thing switches drastically. Right, the mouth opens and the navel closes up. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a minute because it's very interesting. Without that, you couldn't survive even 1 hour. Okay, now what does this sound like to you? Asher yatsar. Asher yatsar comes from here. Nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim. Right? She'im yipatech echab mehem, o yisateim echab mehem. Right? If one opens and one closes, yishar lekem lemal panecha. Now, if you notice, there's two different girsaot of that bracha. One is afilu sha'achat, and one is not afilu sha'achat. It all comes from here. There's different girsaot of this gemara. Because some people say, what do you mean? You can keep your mouth closed for a long time and not die. Okay, because you can breathe through your nose. So therefore, they say, afilu sha'achat doesn't make any sense, and they get rid of it. So that's where the two girsaot of Asher Yatzar come from. B'ner daluklo al rosho. Now we're going to get to, that's kind of physical. Now we're getting to spiritual, or a different realm. Metaphysical. There's a candle lit by its head. V'tzofeu mebit misof ha'olam v'ad sofo. And the fetus can see all the way to the end of the world. Sh'ne'emar. Okay, now we're going to start quoting psukim from Eov. Now, these psukim in Eov come up in the context of Eov saying, I wish I were back in this idyllic stage of being a fetus. And what he really means is before all these terrible things happened to me. Okay? But he gives it the analogies in the world of when I was in utero. Bihilo nero alai roshi, lo'oro elech choshech. Okay, there was this candle on my head, and I went in the dark using that light. That light guided me. Va'al titma, that's one pasuk. We're going to see a bunch more from there. Va'al titma, now how you say, how could the fetus possibly see to the end of the world? Sharei adam yashen kan v'ro'ech halom ba'aspamia. You could have a dream about some faraway place. So that's how the fetus can see all the way, right, to the end of the world, because it's an image, right? It sees in its head, not in actuality. Be'en lecha yamim sha'adam sharoi b'tova yoter me'otan yamim. And there's no better days than that. And they're going to quote again from Eov, Shene'emar. Right, these are all psukim from Eov Perek Kaftet. Mi yitneni ki yarchei kedem, ki yimei Elohai yishmereni. Right, I want to go back to the days, my months of kedem, that's why they're going to say months, okay, we'll get back to that, like the days where God protected me. Ve'ezei yamim sheyesh behem yurechim ve'em behem shanim. Right, it says yarchei kedem and not shnei kedem, shanim, years. Havei omer elu yarchei leida, because there isn't a year of birth, it's months. And that's why they assume it's talking about in utero. And what else happens to you in utero? This is the famous line that everybody knows. Umelamdino to kol haTorah kula, right? There's this famous, I don't know if everybody knows this, but there's this concept that they learn all of Torah kula when they're in utero. Shenemar. This is a pasuk from Mishle, where also it's talking about, I forget the pasuk that comes before it, I don't have a Tanakh here, but it's also, it's clear that it's talking about in utero. Vayorenu vayomar li yitzmoch tverei libecha. Shmor mitzvoti v'chaye. Okay, so it says, right, he taught me and said, right, he taught me everything, and shmor mitzvotai, and you will live. Okay, it's kind of like saying, this is what you're told before you come into the world. I'm teaching it to you now, and if you keep my mitzvot, you'll survive. Ve'omer, and additionally, to prove this further, besod eloha alai ohali. Okay, this is that pasuk, the parak in Eov again, right, when I was, again, there was where the secrets of God were my tent upon me. Okay, so I knew the secrets of God. My v'omer, why do you need both psukim? V'chitem a navihu dekamar, because maybe it was when it said, v'yoreni v'yomer li, God spoke to me and said this, maybe it was only to him specifically and not to every fetus. But when you learn v'sod alohai alai ohali, we learn that it could be really anybody. Tashma v'sod alohai alai ohali. Even though you could say that was maybe only Eov, so I don't know exactly. V'kevan shabal avir olam, here's what everybody says, right? What's that thing doing in your over your lip, that little indentation? Kevan shabal avir olam, bamal ach v'satro al piv, u'mishakcho kol haTorah kula. And then you forget everything you learn. Shenemar lefetach chatat rovetz. Okay, this is lapetach, as it's coming out of the uterus, right? Or out of the mother's body. Chatat rovetz, right? The chatat here doesn't mean chet. It means, right, the way they're darshaning, it means loss. Like the loss comes about as your bapetach. Ve'ino yotzei misham ad shemashbi'in oto. They don't leave the uterus until they get sworn, like they swear basically. The malach makes you swear. Shenemar ki li ticha kol berech, tishava kol lashon. Okay, right, famous pasuk. So what's li ticha kol berech, tishava kol lashon? This is from Yeshayahu. Ki li ticha kol berech, ze yom amita. All will bow before me on the day of their death. Shenemar lefanav yichru'u kol yordei afar, those who go down to the ground on the day of their death. Tishava kol lashon, everybody will swear, ze yom haleda, that must be the day of birth. How do we know this? Shenemar niki kapayim uvar levav asher lo nasa lashav nafshi v'lo nishba l'mirma. Okay, basically they say, who is this perfect person that never did anything bad, v'lo nishba l'mirma, that must be in, right, the baby as it's born. What do they get sworn in? Okay, be righteous. Don't be a bad person. There's a great line. Even if everybody says you're amazing, you should never view yourself as you're amazing. You do everything perfectly. There's always where to strive for. Okay, no, that God is pure. Those who work for him are pure, and the neshama he gave you is pure. Im atam shamra b'tahara mutav. If you deal with it as if it's something tahor, you'll be great. V'im lav hareini notzla mimcha. If not, I'm going to take it away from you. This, by the way, sounds like Elokai neshama, right? Shenatata v'tahara hi atav, right? It's also connected. Tana deber Rabbi Yishmael. Mashal lekohen shemasar tchuma lama aretz v'amar lo. Im atam shamra b'tahara mutav. V'im lav hareini srofa lefanecha. Right, so here's a Kohen that gives truma to an Am Haaretz Kohen, and he says, listen, if you treat it properly, you can eat it, but if not, you're going to mess it up. Amar Rabbi Elazar, my crowd, where do we get this from? Meme'e imi atagozi. Okay, so now, where do we get that he swears? From this lashon of, from the me'e imo, your gozi, my mashma dahai gozi lishna deishbu'uehi. How do you know it's, right? Gozi is usually cut, you're cut from the womb, right? You get cut from the womb, basically. So what do they say? Gozi means to swear. Dechtiv gozi nizrech v'hashlichi. Your net, it's a way, it's a pasuk talking about the nazir is going to take off his hair, right? Cut your hair and throw it, but it has to do with a nezer. Nazir is a form of swearing. So they see gazi and nizri go together, so that's what they say. And then we'll end with this Amar Rabbi Elazar, lema vla jome b'me'eimo, le'egoz munach b'sefel shamayim, adam no ken etzbo alav, shokeat lekan ulekan. If someone pushes it around, it sinks somewhere else. What this basically means is it's always protected in the womb of the mother. And basically, like I said, right, that it ends this section about saying that it's this ideal time of life where you kind of guided by, you have your mother giving you food, you have the ma'ach teaching you Torah, and you're kind of in this perfect state. Obviously, then you get out and you have to kind of fend your way. What I was thinking about, I'm not sure that this is the pshat, but the image that came to my head when I read that pasuk, "V'hilo ne'ro alai roshi, lo'oro elei choshech," it's really talking about that the tinok has a way to guide him, right? He's guided by a light and sees across the whole, right? He has perspective. And I thought of two things. Number one, I thought of the Little Prince, when he talks about how kids see much better than adults. Adults are always blocked by all these things that prevent them from being able to see everything properly. And kids just have a way of viewing the world very simply. And as a result, they see a lot more than what people can see. And I also thought about the fact that, not focusing on the fetus itself, but on the mother and the parents, and how having children often gives people perspective on life. And that sometimes we're so caught up with our busy lives and this, and then your kids make you stop and think and reevaluate. And that, I think, in a sense, the fetus has the light that's our guiding light. It's not guiding the fetus, it's guiding us, because it keeps us in perspective and keeps us thinking about the bigger picture and not just about, you know, our busy rat race in the world. And it makes us stop, and right, we can't just keep going. We have to stop and think about them and think about how we're bringing them up. And it gives you perspective. So I thought about that in the context of this sitting.